Hi.
Your costume is pretty.
Oh, it's not a costume. I'm an elf.
Oh.
Well, technically I'm human, but I was raised by elves.
New Line Cinema presents the story of one elf who's coming home for Christmas.
Boy.
Can't wait to see my dad. We're going to go ice skating and eat sugar plums. Sorry.
Now.
I think someone sent you a Christmas gram.
Dad!
We should call security.
Good idea.
I like to whisper too.
Buddy's experiencing a world he never knew existed.
But he's your son.
What am I going to do?
He's certifiably insane.
Discovering what it takes to fit in. And going where no elf has gone before.
What he needs is to be nurtured. Bring him home. Introduce him to Emily and Michael.
How long do you think you'll be with us?
I was thinking, like, forever.
He cannot stay here.
You can't just throw him out in the snow.
He loves the snow. He's told me 15 times.
Son of a nutcracker!
We can take him.
Where did you say you were from?
This holiday season.
I think you're beautiful, and my tongue swells up when I am around you.
Get ready.
I planned out our whole day. I thought maybe we could make gingerbread houses and maybe even hold hands.
For a tall tale.
How are we going to get the star on top?
Of elfish proportions.
I got it.
Will Ferrell.
Okay, people, Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God! I know him.
Elf.
Do you remember me?
I do, I didn't recognize you.
I know, I'm in work clothes.
I didn't know you had elves here.
You're hilarious, my friend.
Did you have to borrow a reindeer to get down here?
Hey, you're feeling strong, my friend. Call me Elf one more time.
He's an angry elf. You! Ow! Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color?
Put that down.
Well, welcome to Vertical Life Church. I'm Joey. I'm the lead pastor here, for those of you that don't know me. And let's see some new faces today. So we want to say welcome. Hopefully your time with us is an encouragement to you. And we have entered full swing into the holiday season. And so through the month of December, we're looking at some of our favorite holiday movies in our series called Vertical Life Church Presents. We're taking a look at timeless truths through classic tales. And so this week, we're going to be looking at the story of Elf. It's one of my favorite Christmas films, like it or hate it. I have to watch this every year. And not only is it stupid funny, everything from watching Will Ferrell get run over by the taxi cab to the grudge match he has with Santa Claus in the middle of the department store, and probably the most insane snowball fight ever recorded in film history, Elf is sure to at least put a smile on your face. But I think the reason why this story resonates with me this holiday season especially is because this is a story about a person who struggles with their identity, with confidence in who they are, and at times struggles with their self-worth. In the book of Romans, Romans chapter 15, verses 16 and 17, this is what the Apostle Paul says. He makes this statement. He says, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. So I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me and my service to God. Now, just reading that statement, you can tell Paul was a confident dude. I mean, how many of you would be secure describing yourself as a special messenger from God? I am a special messenger from God. Bow to me. No, that's not something we would normally describe ourselves as. But Paul knew his purpose. He knew who he was. And from this passage, we can totally see he was completely okay with who God made him to be. But I think for most of us, and at least on some level, we struggle with self-love and self-worth and self-confidence because we're faced with so many times and with so many different ways, the ways in which we don't measure up. And even in the realm of the church, you know, we see super Christians like Paul or other, you know, pastors or leaders we see on the TV or we read in books, and we feel like their life is so far out of reach. Like there's something within us that could never be good enough to do something so significant. And so we struggle with who we are. And Elf is a story just like this. This is a story about a baby whose mother gave him up for adoption. And as he was in this adoption agency one Christmas Eve night, as Santa is there unpacking his bag and putting presents around the tree, he crawls out of bed and climbs into Santa's bag and takes an accidental trip to the North Pole. And because now Christmas Eve is over, Santa's back home, and Santa can't go out again for a whole other year, they had this kind of problem. They didn't know what they were going to do with this baby. They couldn't take him back because the secret of Santa would be ruined for the whole world. So with this conundrum at play, a willing elf named Papa Elf, who grew up single, he was a bachelor his whole life, dedicated his life to the most extreme life an elf could have, and that was making toys for Santa. He decided to adopt Buddy as his own and raise him. And so for Buddy's entire life, he was raised with an elf father. The unfortunate problem with Buddy was that Buddy's papa never told him he was a human. And so he thought his entire life that he grew up thinking he was something that he wasn't. He believed he was an elf. And though everything Buddy did was done to the very best of his ability and with all the Christmas spirit he could muster, he still couldn't measure down to all the other elves. Did you catch what I did there? Measure down. You know, I made it funny. Ha ha. You can laugh. Ha ha. Just kidding. Anywho, Buddy could barely fit into his elf bed. He could barely fit into his elf shower. He could never make toys as fast as the other elves. He could never quite cut it as an elf, something he tried so desperately hard to be. And so Buddy was discouraged because he never seemed to fit in. And he knew it. He kept failing at what other people seemed to do with ease. And because of this, he had a poor self-image. He called himself a cotton-headed ninny muggins. And I think in elfish or in elf language, that is probably something really severe, because in the film when he says that, everyone's like, oh, you said a bad word. You know, no, right? They try to make him retract himself. But Buddy was really hard on himself. He had a poor self-image, and though the other elves tried to encourage him, he couldn't shake the feeling that there was really something wrong with him. And the reason why he felt this way was because he was trying to be something other than what he was intended to be. He wasn't born to be an elf. God had a different plan for his life. And as long as Buddy kept trying to be something other than what God designed him to be, he would continue to stand out like a sore thumb, but yet come up short in the special elf talents arena. And I can relate to Buddy because most of my life growing up, I had to deal with bullies and feel like I didn't fit in. I wasn't ever good at sports and the things that made people stand out in school. And so I didn't fit in. I got picked on a lot. And even with the kids at church, I didn't seem to fit in. And what was the hardest for me was that the more I didn't fit in, the more I wanted to. And the more I wanted to fit in, the more it hurt when I didn't fit in. And the more it was hurt because I didn't fit in, the more willing I was to do things I knew weren't the best for me to try to find my place in the world and try to find a connection. And this is what many call the comparison trap. When you compare yourself to other people, or when we compare ourselves to successful people or popular people, it's easy to put them in a category of excellence, which then puts us in a category of mediocrity. Where we feel like their life is what we need, their friends, their reputation, their success, maybe even their appearance and their style. And we want to, and we even try to rise up to their level. And this happens in the ministry all the time. This plagues pastors and other church leaders. And I've even found myself battling with this feeling of inadequacy when looking at the success of other churches and waking up to the struggles and challenges of the ministry that God has called me to. Like, how could that church in that state be growing with exponential growth and seem like everything is just going well, and yet we seem to have a revolving door? And I start asking questions like, God, what am I doing wrong? Or am I even cut out for the job? See, sometimes in those moments when I'm stuck in that comparison trap, when we get stuck comparing ourselves to other people, You know, we feel unqualified for the things that God has called us to do. When you compare your struggles and your weaknesses to other people's strengths and successes, you can't help but develop a poor self-image and lose confidence in who God made you to be. And think of yourself as a cotton-headed Nanny Muggins. And if we try or keep trying to be something other than what God had made us to be, we will fail. And we fail because we were not called to live their life or lead their ministry or have their job or their career or their family. We were called to live and lead our own lives. The other elves in the story were kind to Buddy's face, but behind his back they made fun of him and were frustrated with him. One time when Buddy was eavesdropping on a conversation that his elf boss was having with another worker elf, he finds out the truth. That he wasn't an elf at all, that he was a human raised by elves. So not only did Buddy feel like he didn't fit in, but he finds out he actually doesn't fit in. And this was a bombshell to him. This rocked his world. The information made him begin to question everything he'd ever believed and ever known and experienced about his life. And he started playing through different experiences that he had. And in this time, when you start questioning things that you've gone through, when you have these bombshells dropped and you start asking yourself these questions, I mean, you've been there before. You know what it's like to experience those things where in a moment you find out something that makes you question everything you've ever known or believed. And all of a sudden, life doesn't make sense anymore. And you lose sight of who you are. And this happens especially when we find out something was a lie that we believed to be true all along, and it makes us struggle with our identity. And it can even make you question the value of your own life, like, am I worth loving? I remember the day when I found out my parents were going to divorce and all the circumstances surrounding that time in my life. I remember questioning my value. Like, if I was worth loving, why would this be happening? And I even remember questioning even the existence of God, because it seemed like our family was doing everything right. We had the religion down. Everyone went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible study, youth group. We did all of these things. We all had our own Bibles. We all had our own church clothes. It seemed like we were listening to the right music. We had everything together. But yet this thing was happening in my life, and I began to question everything I had believed. See, when we go through these types of trials, many times it's these kinds of trials that can pull people away from faith altogether, leaving us feeling a little hopeless. And this is the narrative of the story of Elf, the point the world was in the story. Hope in this story, globally, had become just another nostalgic idea, a tradition. Faith had stopped really making a difference in people's lives. Christmas wasn't about hope and faith. The true spirit of the season was gone in this story. The world had gotten so far away from belief that there wasn't any more Christmas spirit in the world to make Santa's sleigh fly. And so instead of the reindeer pulling the sleigh, he had to have assistance from a rocket booster. And this, I believe, is a strong metaphor for what happens when hope and faith is pulled out of our spiritual lives. In order to have any real direction spiritually, we need to have some assistance when we lose faith and we lose hope. And so we begin to fabricate religious traditions and ideas and expectations to help steer our lives in what we feel is a positive direction. It gives us the illusion of authentic faith, but reality is just a cover-up to conceal a powerless and disconnected spiritual life. And I believe we do this because we want to believe in something bigger and something greater than ourselves. We want to feel the awe that that hope brings, because it helps us avoid the struggle of our everyday lives. So today in our world, we find ourselves in the same place in our culture where the majority of people like the idea of Christmas, but really don't believe in the reason we celebrate it to begin with. This is the state of our culture. And in this story, the story of Elf, the world likes the idea of Santa Claus, but doesn't really believe in Santa. And the sleigh no longer flies on its own because of that lack of belief. And Papa Elf, Buddy's adopted father, was charged with the maintenance of the rocket, of the sleigh. And he teaches Buddy how to repair the rocket in order to try to make Buddy feel like he could be a part of the elf community and give some significance to his life. But after finding out that he really wasn't an elf and learning that his mother had passed away, but his birth father was still alive and well in New York City, Buddy regains a sense of purpose and decides to go on a journey to find his birth father. Because Buddy begins to believe that if he could find his real father, if he could trace his roots, then he could find his place in the world. He would know his purpose and finally find the community he was looking for, the place where he would belong. And I think we often do the same things when we have this crisis of identity or purpose or worth, when we feel like we don't fit in, we don't know what our purpose is, or that life's just not right. We'll set our focus on something to fill in the gap in our heart or the hole in our heart, whether it's a romantic relationship or a career or a hobby or even changing the way your family's made up and having kids. We invest ourselves in pursuing these things, investing ourselves in these things because we believe we might be able to find purpose and meaning in that and not feel so lost and alone. And so Buddy, with this mindset, he sets off on this journey. He heads through the candy cane forest, through the sea of swirly, twirly gumdrops, and ends up in the Lincoln Tunnel. And with all the good thoughts and joyful anticipation that he has in his heart as he prepares to meet his dad for the first time, what he wasn't prepared for was to be rejected again. He has this epic encounter with his father. He even sings him a heartfelt song in everything, but to no avail. And though the rejection was painfully obvious due to the fact he was escorted out of the building by the security, he goes into a state of denial, denying that his birth father doesn't really want anything to do with him. He just can't believe it. He can't believe that his real dad would not want him. Sometimes we want something so much that we will choose to ignore the signs in order to keep from admitting painful truths to ourselves, whether it's for good things or bad things. Like, we want purpose, we want wholeness, we want significance, so much so that we'll choose to ignore that maybe the relationship that I'm in or this new venture I'm about to embark on is really something that is bad for me and not leading me to find what I desperately need. And I remember many times in my life, I would wrestle with what God was laying on my heart or calling me to, and I would choose to ignore what I knew God was speaking to me just so I could walk the path that I had planned for myself as I chased my dreams. We do this all the time. We choose to deny what we know is right in front of our face, and it's an internal defense mechanism that's designed to keep us from feeling discomfort and fear, and in this case with Buddy, loneliness about our present situation and circumstances, as we're trying to figure life out, especially about where we belong, so we don't continue to feel lost and alone. And I believe this is why Buddy, when he lived with the elves, being several feet taller than everyone else and his voice several octaves lower, could continue to believe he was an elf, even though the signs pointed to a different truth. It was because of this denial. And many times we will choose to be in denial to keep from having to deal with issues, but sometimes it's also to keep us from having to make difficult decisions. Decisions that would lead us to begin a journey with God that would be far out of our comfort zone and in uncharted territory. Like we talked last week, talking about contentment, we talked about like simply just agreeing with God about what our purpose is and then surrendering to it. Sometimes that is a scary thing, especially when it comes to decisions that may affect our plan for our lives or like our careers or our relationships or our desire to stay in the shadows when God is calling us out to step into the spotlight. Denial is a tool we use to hold on to sanity when facing the insanity of difficult decisions and situations. And as Buddy continued his journey, as he finally meets his father, continues to kind of figure out what he's going to do now, he wanders into a Christmas-themed department store. And here he's mistaken for a store employee because his elf costume matches what the employees were wearing. So, and after some different circumstances, he ends up having a grudge match with Santa right in the middle of the department store and is taken to jail. And using his one free phone call, he calls his birth father, and his birth father ends up bailing him out of curiosity because he's trying to figure out who is this weirdo that's claiming to be my son. And so Walter, Buddy's birth dad, thinking he's crazy, takes him to a doctor to have a paternity test done. And it's confirmed that Buddy is actually Walter's son. And so Walter reluctantly brings him home for dinner, trying to figure out some way to get rid of this loony bin, this weirdo, once and for all. But when his wife, Emily, meets Buddy, feeling compassion for him, she does what every good wife does and invites him to stay over, right? And Buddy is asked, how long are you going to stay? And he's like, well, indefinitely. So now Walter is tied in. And so they go through a series of events. And Walter and Emily are trying to figure out how to watch. Even Buddy's a grown-up. He still acts like a little child. So they're trying to figure out who's going to watch him during the day. And Walter ends up having to take Buddy to work with him. And after a few big bloopers at Walter's office, as he takes Buddy to work with him, Buddy ends up ruining the last chance Walter has to save his job. Because Walter's boss was threatening to fire him due to the poor performance of the company. And in his anger, Walter kicks Buddy out of his life once and for all. And so now Buddy finds himself again, feeling like a constant disappointment. Once again, finds himself alone with no purpose, no place in the world. He doesn't fit in as an elf, and now he can't even fit in as a human. He can't seem to measure up to everyone else's expectations. He can't seem to succeed in being what everyone else expects him to be. And I believe that this is probably some of you today. Some of you in this room today, you feel the weight of all these expectations, but you feel powerless and incapable of measuring up to them. And that place is a lonely place. It's a lonely place to be. When you feel like everyone is against you, that you'll never be good enough, and it makes you question your worth and your value and whether God really has a good plan in store for your life. But just as Buddy was walking the bridge out of town, not knowing where he was going to go, he sees Santa's sleigh headed for trouble and makes an emergency landing in Central Park. And right there, under the cold night sky, Buddy finally finds his purpose in life. It wasn't to be an elf, and it wasn't to be a human. It was to be both. Santa's sleigh had lost its rocket engine, and now Buddy needed to find it and fix it. And because Buddy was the only one able to do it, he was on the job. And as Buddy is rescuing Santa, the other people in Buddy's life, Walter especially, has a change of heart and goes looking for Buddy to try to apologize for what he said, because he realized that even among all the crazy things Buddy did, he really did love his son. And to keep the secret of Santa alive for the world, Walter, Emily, Michael, Buddy's brother, and Jovi, Buddy's girlfriend, spring into action to buy Buddy some time to fix the sleigh before the Central Park Rangers ruin Christmas forever. And as they act on their newfound belief in Santa, they find themselves overcoming fears and doing things they had never thought they would ever do, especially as a once disconnected family is reunited back together again. See, when it seemed like Buddy could never do anything right, as he was simultaneously ruining everyone's life, he at the same time was making everyone's life better. See, something you view as a failure or a mistake or an inadequacy may be the very thing God uses to change somebody's life. A girl who just wanted to be left alone and remain unseen opens up and sings before a group of strangers because the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. His half-brother, who felt completely abandoned by his father, has his relationship restored. His father, who had been on the naughty list for an indefinite amount of time, by the end of the movie, finds enough Christmas spirit as he realizes that the most important thing in the world are the people close to you that you love. And it was his change of heart that gave the sleigh the power it needed to fly once again. And if it wasn't for this eccentric human who was raised by elves, these people would have gone on to live empty lives. Christmas would have been ruined forever. So even though Buddy didn't know his place in the world, he was part of a greater story. His journey was to discover who he was, and that journey led him to finding out where he truly belonged. So you may be here today and feel like Buddy. Like no matter how hard you try, you're never good enough for the people in your life. No matter how many sacrifices you make, you still don't measure up to the standards of the people you're trying to please. What you have to remember and let sink down deep in your heart is that God has created you for a great purpose. You matter to the Almighty. You're not here by chance. It's not an accident that you arrived on this earth. God designed you down to the very components in your cells of your body, even down to the molecular level. You bear the fingerprint of God. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist writes this. He says, "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." Another translation says, "I am beautifully and wonderfully made." You are beautifully, fearfully, and wonderfully made by the hand of God. You may not like the way you look. You may not like the way you talk. You may not like the way you walk. You might not be as athletic as you want to be or as artistic as you want to be. But God used his infinite wisdom and power in his design when he made you to be perfect for the purpose that he created you for. And to quote John Legend in the song All of Me, your imperfections are perfect imperfections. If you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, if you have a hard time loving what God made in you, it's because you're not looking at the glory of God's wisdom and his design for you. It's because you're comparing your model to another model that was created for an entirely different purpose. Your perception of who you are can only be tarnished by who you compare yourself to. If you are comparing yourself to that someone that excels at something that you don't or has what you don't have, you won't appreciate the perfection of your own design. Paul in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." See, God planned from day one that he was going to make you in a very specific way. You are the only version of you that will ever be. And you may be thinking, well, I don't fit in at work. I don't fit in at school. I can't seem to find my place in the world. Every time I put myself out there, I end up being rejected and feeling alone. And the truth is, you may feel that way. I have felt that way. But you feel that way because you're trying to fit in a place and live up to a potential that God hasn't created you for. Your focus is misdirected. You see, so often we look at the people around us and the people we think that are cool or are successful or who society says we should aspire to be. And when we don't fit into that category, we're not trendy enough, we're not attractive enough, we're not skilled enough, where we let that define our value and our worth. But a question I have for you is, why should you minimize the value of what God designed in you by comparing it to a standard that the world created that only leads people into brokenness and a future far from God? Why should you compromise your value? Why do you want to go from being a one-of-a-kind created by God to a carbon copy of the world? It doesn't make any sense. It's attempting to live up to the expectations of the world that make us not love who God made us to be. And it's so ironic. When I was in high school, I used to hang out with the alternative crowd. I know it's hard to imagine in this elf suit me having long hair and a chain wallet and baggy clothes and no color in my wardrobe, but it's true. I used to hang out with the alternative crowd, and we were so dead set on being original. We weren't going to be like everyone else. We were going to be original and do our own thing. We were going to be different. But what ended up happening in that quest for originality is that we ended up exactly like each other. In search for identity, we ended up losing it. See, God made no mistakes when he made you. No mistakes. And the way to discover why God made you the way he made you isn't by dedicating your life to try to fit in with the people and the society that rejects you. It's in following Jesus and letting him take you on a journey to discover who he made you to be. See, it's only on a rare occasion in the Bible, when you open the Bible, you can read it cover to cover. It's only on a rare occasion that God spells out someone's destiny before they're born. Think about the characters of the Bible and then the 7 billion other people on the planet at the same time. It's a very rare occasion God spells out someone's destiny. It's not the majority that it has an angel come and declare what someone's life is going to be. It's a very small amount of people that this happens. For the majority of us, we have to figure it out along the way. And what I've found to be true in my life, and what I see here in this elf story, and it's the core concept of this message today,
is that it's in the journey that we discover who God has made us to be. It's in the journey, right? It's not just we wake up one day and know. It's in following Him and following His will for our lives, because God sends us on a journey to reach who He has specifically put in our path. And what happens as we follow that journey and follow His will for our lives and are obedient to Him, is we discover what it is He intended for us to do. See, in this story, Buddy is sent on a journey. And through the way he showed people unconditional love, being just who God made him to be, the events in his life led him to the place where he discovered what his special talents really were and revealed what his place was in the world. And he finally got to the place where he finally loved who he was and felt whole and felt a part of something. You see, I didn't discover what my purpose was until I had already started my journey with Jesus Christ and started following his plan, praying through and obeying what he purposed in my life. And now I'm at a place in my life where I feel whole. I know what he's called me to do. I know my purpose. And now I'm getting to the point, far from when I was in high school, I'm getting to the point where I actually am beginning to love who God made me to be. Because I can see how who God made me to be can do what he made me to do. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God lives in you. You have a place. You were made for a purpose, and you also have special talents. So this is our key verse in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Peter writes this to the church. He says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. God, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God, hear me, God has given you special talents. He's given them to you. You already have them. It's not something that's coming down the line. If you're a follower of Christ, you have already been given special talents. And it's not the talent for blending in and going unnoticed. It's not the talent to try to just fit in with the other elves and just get along and be a part of the narrative. Or it's not try to live up to the expectations of the people in your lives. No, Peter says, if you have the gift of speaking, speak as though God was speaking through you. If you have the gift of helping, help is with all the energy God had supplies in your life. You are to do it with everything that you are. Your talents were given to you to use with all the confidence you can muster. Because this is how God wields his power in and through your life. So as you use what God has given you, his power works through you to be a change maker, to bring change into the lives of those who are far from God and need a radical encounter with Jesus Christ. The talents are designed to help you love and serve people unconditionally as you be who he has made you to be, to follow the path he's made you to walk. See, if Buddy hadn't gone to New York City, and he stayed at the North Pole, Christmas would have been lost. And if we choose to stay in a safe and comfortable religion and not take the steps that God puts before us and not take the journey to find our place in the kingdom by stepping outside of our comfort zone to follow Jesus, then we may never realize the purpose that God has for us and discover what our special talents are. And if you don't discover what your special talents are, you won't be able to truly appreciate who God made you to be. And this is so very important, because only you can do what God has made you to do. Only you can reach who God has made you to reach, because you are the only you that is able to live your life. God made you for a purpose. And if you don't begin to the journey to discover your special talents, the people that God created to benefit from those talents are going to suffer loss. And it's so hard to use our talents when we aren't confident and who God made us to be. The amazing thing about trying to find our place in the world and trying to find the community that we can belong to and community where we'll be accepted and valued is that when you are a follower of Jesus, you don't have to find community, because community finds you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Each of us has a gift. Each of us are a part of the body of Christ. The moment you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are welcomed into the community of believers where you are not just accepted, but you are desperately needed. And as you use your gifts, as you live on purpose, live out your purpose, and just be who God has made you to be, you will encourage, strengthen, and empower others to do the same. If you are here today and you're not sure about what your special talents are, you're not sure about how you fit in, first ask yourself this question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you asked Him to forgive you of your sins and where you dedicated your life to turning away from sin and following Jesus Christ? Because Christianity is not a nostalgic idea. It's a powerful faith. And until faith is the motivator of your spiritual life, you will stay stuck in a comfortable religion. The second thing to ask yourself is this, is what do you want me to do, God? Where are you leading me? Who are you wanting me to serve? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to serve other people? And begin stepping out of the normal routine. Take action, take a step, and begin that journey. Because if you want to reach people you have never reached, you have to do what you've never done. And for some of you, that is to overcome your fear of rejection and put yourself out there for God to use you in a mighty way. For Buddy, it meant putting on an elf suit and spreading Christmas cheer. And some of you here today need to elf yourself too. The way to love yourself is to elf yourself. You need to get over your fears and embarrassment and be confident in who God made you to be. And if you put confidence in God and whom He made you to be, and you put yourself out there, you'll watch how God uses the bloopers and the blessings in your life to radically change the people you come in contact with. And as you follow Jesus and show people that unconditional love on this journey to discover God's will for your life, you'll see His plan and His purpose unfold as you witness how He works in the lives of those that you come in contact with. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, we thank You so much for just what the cross means. The cross of Christ doesn't just mean a chance to be forgiven, but it means a chance to live a new life, to know purpose, to have meaning, to have community, to know love in a way that it was never known before, God, to know a peace that we can't describe or explain, to know that in the midst of struggles and hardship, God, that we always have a strong foundation that we can rely on. God, we thank You so much for sending Jesus Christ. For us to be even to able to celebrate Christmas, to celebrate the time in our history where You came down and intervened in our lives so that we could have hope and joy and salvation and new life. God, I pray today for those that are here that don't know where they fit. God, they have these struggles where they're struggling to love who You made in them, to know what You've made them to do, God. I pray that Your Spirit would begin working and speaking in their heart. And God, You would just motivate them, give them a passion to get involved in Your kingdom. And God, I pray You begin leading them and revealing to them the purpose that You've planned in their life. We ask, God, that You continue to use us as Your body, as the body of Christ, that we would not just encourage one another, but that we would engage those who are far from God, that we would share the gospel with them and lead them to faith in Jesus Christ, and that we could truly see radical change happen in our community and in our world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.